In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How are you feeling today? What's on your mind? What joys are you celebrating? What issues are making you anxious? On a typical Sunday morning, the people sitting in the pews, or any day you viewing at home, might have all sorts of different things going on in your lives. Some of you are happy, some of you are sad, some of you are confident, some of you are nervous. Perhaps we all have a mixture of emotions within us. We all have some good things and some bad things going on in our lives all the time. Maybe you're enjoying some of the finer things in life, but worried about the economy. Maybe you're enjoying your children or grandchildren, but worried about what kind of world they'll be living in the future. Maybe your health is robust right now, but maybe there also are some medical concerns out there too. One of the strengths of our worship is that it welcomes all people, whatever their life situation. We don't try to force any particular emotion on anyone. We rejoice with those celebrating victories. We mourn with those grieving losses. We don't say, if you're not happy, 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 please leave because your negative vibes are going to bring us down. We also don't say, wipe that smile off your face when you walk into the church because we are a serious, intense, humorless group. Nothing bothers me more than when people try to pretend that Christians are always happy, that nothing upsets them, that we never have a bad day. That kind of Pollyanna attitude is just not reality. It's also bothersome when people act like Christians have to be angry at the world all the time or beating themselves up over their failures. Yes, we can both rejoice in Christ and lament sin at the same time. Ups and downs are normal for us. Christianity is sort of a middle way. Jesus sent 72 of his followers out to preach the gospel and prepare his way. We all do that too, as we live out our Christian lives as witnesses to Christ and his good news. Christ told the 72 to take virtually nothing with them. They were going to rely on God, acting through the generosity of others to provide for their needs. Now, if that had been me, sure, I would have trusted Jesus, but I also think that I would have had some concerns about where I was going to sleep and what I was going to eat. Now, maybe we've all been in situations like that in our lives where we didn't know where these were things were coming from. So, how did things work out for that 72? Very well, and perhaps not so well. Jesus warned them that there would be those who would not accept their message. He went on to name some cities that did not embrace his good news and said how poorly they would fare on Judgment Day. Jesus doesn't promise us 100% success. Not everything is going to go the way that we want it to, and we shouldn't be surprised when it doesn't. There were also some successes for the 72. They even bested the demons by the power that Christ had given them. God had sent his word into the world, and it had the effect he intended. People responded. God does provide. He will provide for us. I heard an interesting story recently. It's supposed to have come from ancient China. A man's horse ran away, and his neighbor said, "That's bad." And he said, "We'll see." The next morning, there were 4 wild horses in his corral. And his neighbor said, "That's good." And he said, "We'll see." The next day, his son tried to break one of the horses, was thrown off, and broke his leg. And his neighbor said, "That's bad." And he said, "We'll see." The next day, some soldiers came. conscripting young men by force for the army. They didn't take the farmer's son because he had a broken leg. And his neighbor said, "That's good." And he said, "We'll see." The point, of course, is that all kinds of things come rushing at us in life like the waters of a flood. Things that might look bad sometimes turn out to be good. And what appears to be good might actually be bad. We just don't know. We can't see the future. We can only exist in the moment. Life is absurd and existence is meaningless. That's what many philosophers of the 20th century said. It was called the school of existentialism. And when we look at what a train wreck the 20th century and the early 21st century have been, we can understand why people would feel that way. I admit, I feel sort of that way too, but with a bit of a Christian twist. I say, life may appear absurd, and existence may appear meaningless, unless we believe that God has a plan for us and all creation. We may not understand that plan, and we may never understand it on this side of heaven. But knowing what God has done for us, how his love for us was expressed once and for all with Christ dying on the cross for our sins, knowing that, we can make a leap of faith. And although the world is confusing, although world events and personal events may shake our confidence and try our faith, we can believe and trust that everything is working out according to God's plan and in his good time, even as convoluted as it might all seem. If God can bring salvation out of the murder of his son and raise him from the dead, which seemed impossible, we can believe and trust that God will redeem our lives and give us eternal life along with Christ. That hope, that faith gives our lives meaning and purpose. We are here to love God and to love others and to enjoy his love for us. And we make it our goal to share that saving message with everyone we can through everything that we say and do. Let me put a bit of a finer point on that. I'm not saying that God causes things like disasters to happen. God made the world, and he created its physical laws. He created us and gave us free will. We are basically free in all ways, except when it comes to our salvation. Our salvation was accomplished by Christ on the cross. What we do with our life beyond that is up to us. But God and the devil, good and evil, are tugging and pulling us in their directions. As I'm sure I've said before, everything happens for a reason, and sometimes that reason is that we make bad decisions. God didn't cause the Holocaust. Human sinfulness did. If you step in front of a train, God isn't going to bend the laws of physics for you. My father suffered a major heart attack at the age of 38, from which he recovered and lived another 30 years. Some well-meaning person said to me at the time, "God knew that your father was working too hard, so he gave him a heart attack so that he would take some time off, sort of like a vacation." And I said, "If God decides that I need a vacation, I hope he sends me to Hawaii instead." No one deserves illness. Natural disasters seem just sort of random, but please don't call them acts of God. Nature was our friend until Adam and Eve sinned. But when bad things happen, through our own doing or simply by accident, God can use even them for good. With the eyes of faith, we can see them as opportunities for the exercise of Christian virtues, like compassion and generosity. God gives us all of the good things in our lives. And by God's grace, even the bad things in life, both small things and even the huge disasters and tragedies, can be endured and often turned around to some way serve God's ultimate purpose. Last week was the 50th anniversary of Hurricane Agnes. The rising floodwaters of the Genesee swept away part of First Trinity's Fellowship Hall into the river. And as a result of that, eventually the church was torn down. I can't imagine what a tragedy that must have been for those who lived through it. How devastating it must have been to see the church that you loved, the place where you and your family were baptized and married and buried, totally destroyed. But what did you do? What did God do? By God's grace, the people of Trinity persevered. You persevered in your faith and your commitment to having a Lutheran witness in Wellville. This beautiful church that we are worshiping in today was the fruit of your efforts and God's generous love. Tragedy was turned into triumph, and we are still fighting the good fight. We are still proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and God is with us. God has provided, and come what may, he will continue to provide. Amen.